Let's look at the Word of God tonight. We're going to get into the Word and ask the Lord to speak to us tonight, because I believe that He has something He wants to give to us. Amen? Amen. Well, I was thinking about the fact that, am I in a bad spot? Joe's gone, huh? That we treasure the things that we value. We treasure the things that we value. The things in our life that have value to us are the things in our life that we treasure. So I was thinking about some different things in our life and the value that they have in our life. And I was thinking about the other day As Ethan was getting ready, we have a son now who's in college up at Oral Roberts University. This is his first semester. And as he was getting ready to go to school, I decided I better think about some things. And so I was checking his car to make sure he had a jack in there. You know, we don't think about a jack very often. It's not something I would say that we treasure in life. We don't value it a whole lot. We only value it when we need it, right? And if you have a flat tire, you'll be looking for that jack. But usually, when you get in your car, you're not thinking about a jack, because it's not something that correlates to your life on a daily basis. I was thinking about something else, and it kind of messed up my illustration today, and that was umbrellas, right? We don't place a great value on umbrellas, because we don't need umbrellas in our life very often. But every once in a while, when it starts pouring down rain and we done fixed our hair, right, and we're on our way to church or somewhere, we value having an umbrella around because we have a need for it in our life. Now, let me just think about if you could just name one thing in life that we place great value on. I'm not talking spiritual here. I'm just talking about in real life. What is the one thing that all of us put a good amount, that we treasure quite a bit? What would that be? Old George Washington, right? The greenbacks, anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? We treasure money because it has great value in our life. How many of you know we need money in this world for everything? Everything. We need money for everything. It correlates to almost everything in day-to-day life. If you want a Big Mac, you better have some money, right? No matter what, if you need an oil change, you better have some money. If you want some fruit, you better have some money. And so we treasure and we value money because it correlates to so many things that are in our life. So the next question I began to think about was, how much do we value the Word of God? How much do we treasure the Word of God? How many of you know that we will only treasure this to the degree that we understand how much it truly correlates to our everyday life? Look, if we see this as being an obligation and a responsibility that we have to read once a day, right, in devotional time, and it's just something we have to do out of religious reasons, how many of you know we'll treat it about like that car jack or that umbrella? We throw it in the back seat and we tote it around with us, or we lay it on the table and we pick it up and we carry it to church. But because we don't have a revelation of how much we truly need this in our life, every cell and every molecule and every fiber of our being needs the Word of God. And that to the degree that we have a revelation of how important this is to our existence, the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? The Word was God. How many of you know we need God? In Him we live, and in Him we move, and in Him we have our very existence. What an amazing treasure this is right here. It's the answer to every problem.
Yes, it is.
It's what we need. And I was thinking about that, and it reminded me of a story, and I'm going to read you this story. How many of you ever heard of Corrie ten Boom? Anybody ever heard of Corrie ten Boom? Some of you have, but she was probably one of the, if we don't saint people, but if you could say that someone was a saint in the kingdom of God, she was probably one of the greatest saints in this century. Her and her family were in Nazi Germany during World War II, and her dad was a watchmaker. If you've never read the book or seen the movie, you need to read it or see it, called The Hiding Place. And what they did was their family hid Jews from the Nazis, and they sacrificed their own life. But her and her family wound up being imprisoned into concentration camps, and the largest majority of her family died in concentration camps during World War II. But her and her sister named Betsy, this is a story of them when they went into concentration camps. It says, Corey and her sister Betsy were taken from one concentration camp to another in Holland. They were Dutch in Germany. They spent some time in the notorious Ravensbrück concentration camp, where her sister Betsy and another 100,000 women were killed by the Nazis. This is where it picks up. It says, still in all of her months of confinement by the Nazis, Corey had her Bible. But this comfort too seemed lost as they entered into this new concentration camp called Ravensbrück. She and Betsy shuffled along in a line of prisoners being processed as they arrived. First, the prisoners dropped their blankets and pillowcases into a pile. How it hurt to surrender those. Would they ever be replaced? One couldn't assume any decency from the Nazis. But that pain was nothing compared to the thought of losing the Word of God. For that would surely be discovered next. They had to strip and surrender their old prison clothes before taking a shower. Corey had her Bible hidden in a pouch hung around her neck beneath her gown, so the guards would surely see it when she removed her clothing. Not only would she lose the Bible, but she would get severely punished for having it. Oh, please, Jesus, she prayed. Allow us to keep your precious word. You know, when you have nothing else in life and everything is stripped away, and life can do that, we come to know the value of the word. Betsy suddenly doubled over her sister. Don't shout. Don't shoot, I'm sorry, Corey implored the guards in German. She has diarrhea. Well, don't let her do it here, he snarled in disgust. Get her in there. He pointed at the shower room. Corey helped her sister Betsy into the shower room. It was a miracle. It was empty. They must have been between groups. Corey hid the pouch with the Bible behind a wooden bench that was crawling with roaches. Stacked at the other end of the shower room were the new prison clothes they were to wear. Then they returned to the line, shed their old clothes, and returned to the shower. After a blast of icy water, Corey was dressed in new prison garb plus one Bible hanging around her neck. But she soon saw problems were not over. Security was so tight at Ravensbrück that guards were frisking prisoners after they came out of the shower as well. Oh, please, Jesus, give me another miracle. Hide me with your angels. They marched slowly past the guards who searched every woman from head to toe with groping hands. Rude hands covered the woman in front of Corey. Rude hands covered Betsy, her sister, who was behind Corey. But not one hand touched Corey. She was made invisible to the guards. Perhaps coincidence could explain the first miracle. Betsy really did have diarrhea, but coincidence could not explain the second miracle. Corey was sure now that she was in the hands of the Lord. You know, people all over the world throughout history have been willing to give up everything to hold on to God's word. And the question would be why? Because it was more than a devotional book. It was more than a check off the list to be a Christian understanding. It was because of people who had a deep revelation of how much this word truly means in our lives. And so for a few minutes tonight, I want to talk about how much value the word of God has in our lives and stir us up again to how much we need the Word in our life. You know, in the book of Matthew 13, it says that the kingdom of heaven, I'll correlate that to the Word of God, that the kingdom of heaven or the Word of the Lord is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and he hid, and for joy over it, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found the pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. How many of you know this book right here is the living Word of God? And it has infinite worth in our life. Oh, that we would have a revelation in our life of what this Word can do in our lives and through our lives. Just quickly, if you're taking notes, the Word of God has infinite worth in our lives because it's the source of truth. Everybody say truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How many of you know that in any situation that we experience in life, what is true in any matter that's under consideration is what this word has to say about it? It's not what we think about it. It's not what the circumstances are. It's not what the prognosticators would like to say about my situation or your situation or what we're going through. The truth about our situation is what God's word says about our situation. And it is the truth that we need in our life. This word is so valuable because it is truth. You know, everybody has an answer and everybody has an opinion. But the truth of the matter is found right here in this book. Secondly, I would say that the Word of God has infinite value in our lives. I've got oily fingers now from earlier. Because it's the source of our faith. Everybody say faith. How many know without faith it's impossible to please God? If we have faith as the grain of mustard seed, we can speak to mountains in our lives and they will move. No one is saved without faith. But how many of you know there is no faith in my life for anything without the Word of God? The Scripture says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of heaven. Nothing comes into our lives without faith. And we don't have any faith without the Word of God. Unless I have God's Word in me, unless I hear the Word of God, then I have no faith. And if I have no faith, then I can't believe God for anything. So how much do I need this? I need this in me more than a rainy day. I need it in my life more than when I just have a flat every once in a while. Because I need faith in my life every day. I need faith in my family. I need faith in my finances. I need faith in my ministry. I need faith on my job. I need faith over my children. And I can only have faith if I have God's word on that situation. So I need the Word of God, and it has such great value in my life because faith comes by the Word of God. I would say that the Word of God also has infinite worth in our lives because it's the source of our life and it's the source of power. In Hebrews 4:12, the Scripture tells us that the Word of God is living and powerful. This is the only book that's ever been authored on this planet that is actually alive. This book is alive. You know, we think we read this book, but in reality, this book reads us. How many of you can say amen? Amen. How many of you have read a verse and God he's imparted life to you as you've meditated his word? He's spoken something to you through his word. And you could read that same verse 6 months later and there would be something entirely different that the Holy Spirit will bring out of his word. We could go on one verse for all of our life. It's living and it's full of power in our lives. It's a living document. Jesus said in John 6:63, Jesus said this. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Now you can have a conversation with a professional counselor and they might can give you some good advice, but the words that they speak are not spirit and they are not life unless they're quoting the Word of God. How many of you know Dr. Phil can give some good advice? And there's some good people out there to talk. But when we encounter something in life that we can't overcome, it would be better to dial up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to hear what Jesus had to say than to dial up our neighbor or our friend to see what their opinion would be on it. Because when we need resurrection life, and when we need the power of God working in us and for us, it's only going to come one way. It's going to come through the Word of God. Amen. This book is so valuable because it is living and it's full of power. Jesus, the word in Isaiah says it like this. God said, so shall my word, everybody say my word. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will. Everybody say it will. You can bank it. If we will get it and we will stand on it, then the word of God will not return void. It can't. God is not a man that he could lie. No. It will not return void, but it will accomplish what he sent it forth to do. How many know he sent it forth? He sent it forth. He sent it forth. His spirit is speaking to us. He sent it forth. That word accomplish, it shall accomplish what I please or what I sent it forth to do. That word accomplish means to deal with it. To deal with it and to bring it about. Think about this. The Word of God is alive and it's powerful to deal with frustration and bring about peace. To deal with brokenness and bring about restoration. To deal with depression and bring about joy. To deal with whatever to bring about the will of God. See, when we get God's Word on our situation, it can deal with our situation. We got to remember, we need God's word on our situation. Amen. We run to so many other things and we value so many other things in our life so many times. And the thing that we need that can deal with what's going on is found right here in the Word of God. We need it. But listen, it's a treasure. It's a treasure. It's like a buried treasure. We got to open it up and we got to search the scriptures. We got to go through the promises. We've got to quiet ourselves in the presence of the Lord. We got to allow the Holy Spirit. Remember that the voice of God wasn't in the earthquake and it wasn't in the fire and it wasn't in all of that. It was the still small voice of God. Remember, Martha was busy about doing things for Jesus. She was busy about doing it. And she was frustrated and aggravated hosting Jesus in her house. How many of you have been frustrated and aggravated hosting Jesus in your house? But Mary found herself at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words, letting them accomplish things in her life. If we'll give it priority, how many of you know it'll accomplish things in our lives? The Word of God has infinite worth because it's the source of our healing. Everybody say healing. Psalms 107:20 says that God has sent his word and healed us. How did healing come? Through his word. Remember the centurion soldier, he said, Lord, my servant's lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. He said, I want you to come and Jesus said, I'm going to come and heal him. What did the centurion say? He said, you don't even have to come. He said, just speak the word. Just speak the word. Say that. Speak the word. How many of you know, many of us in this room tonight, we need to speak the word. We've been speaking the situation. We've been speaking the circumstance. We've been speaking the symptoms. But the centurion knew enough to say to Jesus, all you got to do, I'm a man that knows about authority. I'm a man that has authority and I'm under authority. And I know that when I say something, something, that that which is under my authority will happen. And I know, Jesus, that you have authority, and all you have to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus was impressed with that kind of faith. Speak the word, and Jesus spoke the word, and his servant was healed that very hour. And I love that Jesus is the healer. And it takes his word on our situation to bring healing. But he's the healer of spirit, soul, and body. There's some souls that need the healing of God. There's some hearts that have been broken. But how many of you know he's near to the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds? You get his word on your heart. You get your word on your body, and there will healing that will follow. The word of God has infinite worth because it's the source of our freedom. Everybody say freedom. How many are thankful for freedom? Jesus said in John 8:32 that you shall know the truth. And the more you know the truth, then the more you'll be free. How many of you experienced that in your life? How many of you are freer today in your life than you were a year ago? Freer in your life than you were 10 years ago? How many are thankful for freedom? How many of you say, I ain't free as I'm going to be? We'll only experience freedom in our life to the degree that we know the truth. We meditate the truth. Psalm chapter 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Right? Standeth in the way of the sinner, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Basically, I take all that and say, you know, the world. We fill ourselves up with the world, the commentators of the world, the news of the world, what all the world has to say. We mull it over in our minds and we meditate on it and we fill ourselves with it. But the scripture says, blessed is the person, right, who doesn't do that. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of God. In that word, they meditate day and night. Day and night. And they'll be like a tree that's planted by rivers of living water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf will not wither. Amen. So that to the degree that we get the truth of God, we meditate that truth into our life, it brings freedom. The word of God is of infinite worth because it's the source of our victory. Everybody say victory. 1 John 2:14 says, I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. He didn't say, you carry the word with you. You got it in your back pocket, or you read it once a week. He said, you are strong because the word of God abides in you, and because of that, you have overcome the wicked one. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the... I'll say it again, y'all. Y'all fill in the blank. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimony has to be the word. That's how we overcome. When our testimony is what Jesus said. When we line up, how many of you know when we line up, the Bible says that this is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. That word two-edged there in the Greek is actually two words called diastomos. And what it actually means is a two-mouthed sword. One of the mouths is when God speaks it out of his mouth. But it becomes a two-edged sword when our mouth speaks what God has spoken. How many of you know that a two-edged sword can take out the enemy? It is the word of God. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds. We take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I only got just a couple minutes and I hadn't even got where I was going to get. Okay, the word of God has infinite worth because it's unchanging. Everybody say unchanging. Man, everything in this world is shifting. Yeah. Would you say amen to that? Everything's shifting. Everything's changing. No 401k safe. No health insurance policy. You don't know where it's going. You don't know what the government's going to do. You don't know if your job's going to be there tomorrow. Who knows what? But one thing we do know is that that heaven and earth may pass away, but the Word of God will stand forever. The grass withers and the flower fades, but God's Word stands forever. His Word is unchanging. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This world will come and this world will go, but if we've got the Word on our situation, how many know we've got the unchangeableness of God on our situation? Amen?
Amen.
Now here's what I want to close with, and I just kind of sum it real quick, and that is this. Because of how many of you would agree that this has great value in our life? And to the degree that we understand how valuable it is in our life, we will begin to unpack it and let it begin to rule and reign in our life. But how many of you know we're not the only ones? I would say that there is one who has a greater revelation of how valuable the Word of God even than we do, and that would be our enemy. I believe that he knows the value of this way more than we know the value of this. And that's why he's going to work double time, overtime, all the time to keep us from getting God's Word in our life and on our situation. See, anytime the voice of God comes to us, the voice of God is going to be met with an opposing voice. Because the devil roams about like a loud-mouthed, okay? He doesn't have teeth. He's been defanged. The only power the enemy has is the power that we give him. That's it. The power we give him, like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. See, the voice of God in our life and the Word of God in our life, we have to know up front, it's always going to be met with a voice of opposition. The Bible says in John 10, let me just say this, there will always be two voices. Anybody experience that? The problem is many times the only voice that we listen to is the voice of the enemy. Now the voice of the enemy can come packaged in a lot of different, it can get to us through a lot of different packages, right? It could be a dream, it could be a neighbor, it could be a boss, it could be a spouse, it could be a child, it could be a commentator, it could be a news article. It can get to us in a lot of different ways. How many of you know that the devil has a lot of conduit that's piping his voice into our life? And how many of you know we don't have to work to get the voice of the enemy in our life? It's just served up. It's buffet day all day, right? You know, how many of you do any gardening, you do any flowering? How many of you know you don't have to plant a weed one? They just come. They just show up. We couldn't bundle them up and sell them and make a lot of money, right? The thing that takes work is the thing that has value. And you have to cultivate it, and you have to plant it, and you have to water it, and you have to watch over it, and you have to take the weeds out. Those are the things that you have to work at. The Word of God is always going to be met with a voice of opposition. There will always be two voices. John 10:2 says, "He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his..." Everybody say it. The sheep hear his voice. And let me just say this here tonight. You can hear the voice of God.
Amen.
If you're a sheep, everybody say, "Bah."
Bah.
If you can say, "Bah." You know, I hear a lot of people say, "Well, I just can't hear God." Well, first of all, you need to quit saying that. You need to let your mouth line up, your confession line up with what God says and say, "I can hear God." But if you're a sheep, you can hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. I love that. And then he leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but they will flee from him. And what he's saying here is this, is you can always know that in any given moment in your life, there's going to be the voice of the shepherd and there's going to be the voice of a stranger. And we got to make the choice that we're going to listen to and follow the voice of the shepherd, and we're going to tune out and not listen to the voice of a stranger. How many of you know we've got to be able to identify which voice is which? So many times people are caught up in the mess that they're in because they're believing what? They're believing the stranger. They're listening to the stranger. They're meditating the stranger. They're embracing the stranger. They're coming into agreement with the stranger. They're speaking what the stranger is speaking, and it becomes their reality in life. How many of you know the only way we're going to know the voice of a stranger is if we know the voice of a shepherd? The only time we can identify a lie is if we know what the truth is about the situation. Oh, do I have to read my Bible today? No, not if you want to be deceived. Not if you want to buy into what the devil's putting out. But the more we know the Word of God, how many of you know, the more we'll be able to identify the voice of the enemy in our life. We have to know there will always be an opposing voice. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. You can go back to the very beginning of the book. God put him in a perfect garden. Everything was perfect. And he said, you can eat everything in the garden except for this one tree. And if you eat of this tree, you'll surely die. A few minutes later, there was a competing voice with the voice of God. Did God really say, will you really die? Right?
Yeah.
Just think about Jesus in the Gospels. He was baptized. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. From the water, as Robert Madu said, into the wilderness. What had God just done? He had spoke a living word into Jesus. This is my beloved Son. He said it from heaven for all of the world to hear. It was recorded in the Bible for all of history to read. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Just a few minutes later, what was the competing voice saying? If you really are the Son, turn these stones into bread. The Word of God will always meet with an opposing voice. A couple reasons why. Because the enemy wants to take the Word away. If he takes the Word away, he takes our victory away. He takes the Word away, he takes our healing away. He takes the Word away, he takes our source of truth away. He takes the Word away, then he wins. You remember the parable of the sower? I got to wrap up right here. Remember the parable of the sower? Remember that? The sower sowed the seed. The seed was the Word. And it fell on soil, the soil being our lives, our heart. And the Scripture tells us that three out of the four, let me read this for you right here. It said, let me read you the Scripture. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the Word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. How many of you know the enemy is always standing by to snatch away the Word of God from our lives? And the best way he snatches it away is that we don't value it at all, and we don't give it priority in our life, and so it's not even coming into our life. But when it does come into our life, how many of you know there's a fight for the Word in our life? 25% of the seeds fell by the wayside and the birds ate it up. 25% of the seeds fell on the stony ground and the sun, what, burned it up. 25% of the seed fell among the thorns and the thorns choked it up. I couldn't get that to rhyme, but it choked it out, right? So what does that tell us? That it tells us that 75% of the time the enemy was successful at stealing and snatching away the very Word of God. How many of you know we got to be ready for what the enemy wants to take away from us? And then just a little bit later, the Scripture tells us that he told another parable, that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The thing we have to know is that the enemy is always going to come to oppose. And this is my closing Scripture, which was supposed to be my starting Scripture. And it's this. Write it down. What the Lord wants to say tonight is this. We got to get back to this. It's everything we need. We need it every moment of every minute of every hour of every day of our life. Anything else we look at, look to, or put our trust in will fail us. If we would just find the treasure and put our trust in the treasure. Look at this verse in Hebrews 10:32. It says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated. How many of you know David wrote, your word is a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my path. He's saying after you got God's word, After you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. So what he's telling us is this, is just know this. First of all, your answer is in the Word. Your answer is in the Word, in the living Word of God. But also know this, that when you get the Word from God, just know that the enemy is going to come and challenge the Word of God in your life. And say, okay. So when the enemy comes to challenge the Word of God and we've got God's Word on our situation, what we can't do is buckle and say, oh, listening to the voice of the stranger. How many know we got to listen to the voice of the shepherd? And I don't have time to go into all this. I got all this other stuff I want to talk about. But how many of you know that when we got God's Word on the situation, we got to stand on God's Word. We got to believe God's Word. We've got to come into agreement with God's Word. Just close your eyes real quick. I want to pray for you. I don't want to go over time. I want y'all to let me come back. The Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. I believe what God's wanting to stir in our hearts tonight is a greater desire, a greater hunger, a greater thirst for the Word of God. That it would not, that listen, we're going to quit saying things like, I just don't understand it. We're going to quit thinking things like, well, I just don't get it when I read it. What we're going to begin, our heart's going to begin to cry. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you and your words, oh God. We need the Word of God. Why don't you just open your hands towards heaven and let's just ask the Holy Spirit to bring greater revelation in our life of His Word. Holy Spirit, bring a greater revelation in our life of the value of the Word of God. That it is living and that it is powerful. And that it's all that we need. It's all that we need. That your Word would be in our heart. And that your Word would come off of our lips. And that our spirit would be in agreement with the voice of the shepherd. That we would listen and we would follow the voice of the shepherd. And we would tune out and we would flee from the voice of the stranger. That we would be people that are filled with your Word, O God. And your Word would cause us to be healed. It would cause us to be victorious. It would cause us to be overcomers, God. God, that we would not be conformed to this world, but we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the Word of God. Then we'll know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God, we have answers. God, we have power. God, we have victory. God, we have healing, God. God, you've given it to us through your Word. God, we just thank you. Now, I'm going to be a close. Nobody looking around. Just, I want you to think of, just for a second. Whatever your greatest battle is going on in your life, whatever war is raging, and if you don't have any battles or any wars, then I'm going to get you to pray for me before I leave. Everybody's got things you're fighting through. But I want you to think about that greatest thing that you're struggling with. And I just want you to contemplate, do you have God's Word on that? Do you have God's Word? Did you have God's Word? The manna was for today. You couldn't store it up for tomorrow. Fresh Word of God today. Do you have a Word? Do you have a Word? If you have a Word, make a commitment that nothing else in the world is more important than God's Word on that situation. If you don't have a Word, then right now in this moment, just ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, revelation. Holy Spirit, illumination. Give me your Word. Lead me to your Word over my situation. Because your Word always prevails. Your Word always prevails.